start with a quick word of prayer. Father, just thank you for this opportunity, Father, and I just ask that you speak through me today, Father, and that your words are the ones that are coming through my mouth. And Father, I just give you all the praise and glory for everything you're doing. Amen. You know, I'm not going to start with a joke, and I'm not going to start with a song and dance because my wife is much better at that than I am. Well, I know I can't sing, so that's a good thing. But I am going to start today by asking a tough question to everybody here, I think. How many people in this congregation today have felt a feeling of guilt or felt a feeling of failure in their life? Cool, that means I'm not in a minority. Well, the name of my sermon today is Guilt and Failure, Not for Me. And, you know, it's okay to feel like a failure sometimes, and it's okay to feel guilty sometimes. And, you know, God's been dealing with me with this for probably a month now about the word guilt. And then he threw the word failure at me the other day, and I thought, Lord, now what are you trying to tell me here? And then I got to thinking about it, and, you know, and I realized that when I thought about it for a few minutes, they're both emotions. It's a feeling of guilt is an emotion in your heart that, well, what did I do wrong? Where did I mess up? And what happens when the guilt builds in you, and then you start feeling about, well, I must not be very good, so now I'm a failure. And I'm thinking, that's not what God has in store for us. And then when Brenda spoke last week, and I said to her after she got finished, she was talking about forgiveness, and I thought, well, she's talking about us forgiving other people. But then what came to me is the Lord said to me, what about my forgiveness to you? All the times that I've forgiven you for the things that you've done. And I thought, oh, man, how can the Lord, you know, forgive me for all the things that I've done? And yet I know that he has. You know, he knows that we're going to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. There are no perfect people in this room, at least I don't think so. And he, you know, we can rely on him for the fact that the Lord, if we'll just give him our cares and our troubles, that he's going to be with us and he's going to have in our best interest. See, he doesn't see us as a failure. He doesn't see us as guilty. He sees the best in us every day. That's what he sees. We're his children. We're God's children, each and every one of us in this room. And, you know, for me, you know, that can be a revelation every day for me to think about that. Now, do I do that every day? No. But do I thank him every day that I have another day to walk with him? Yes. Do I thank him every day that I can walk in his will? And I ask him every day, can I walk in, let me walk in your will? And not only just walk in your will, but have the wisdom what you want me to do with that, how you want me to do that. And as I do that, I find that I get great peace in my life, because what happens is I've released all the guilt and all the failure and all the other stuff that I could carry if I want to carry it. I've released it to the Lord and said, okay, Lord, it's a new day, it's a clean slate, let's get on with it. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to get on with it. He doesn't want us to carry that guilt that we've had. I know for me, there's been some things in my life that I carried for a long, long time. And I felt very, very bad about them. But did I ever want to give them up, or did I just want to, make myself feel bad? It was an easy way to convince myself that I'm not worthy of God's forgiveness. And yet, every person in this room is exactly worthy of God's forgiveness. We've been talking the last couple weeks on the radio show about, and Rich and Oscar were both asking me Wednesday. I was writing stuff down. What are you writing down? And I said, I'm not telling you. But we've been talking about confession. We've been talking about repentance. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about repentance. And, that's what the Lord wants us to do. If we're feeling guilty about something, we may have to go and ask someone for forgiveness. But what I found out in the last few years, it's okay to go and ask them, but you don't have to expect that you're going to reply, because a lot of times they're not going to reply. Or they're going to say, what are you talking about? Isn't that the way God is when we give it to him? He says, what are you talking about? I already know what it is, but thanks for bringing it to me. That's the whole thing. See, God's thanking us for us giving him our problems, because he wants the best for us in our life. He wants us to be the people that he's created. He wants us to be his children. He's always looking out for us. We're going to mess up. If I had a nickel for every time I felt guilty about something, I'd be a millionaire. But I'm not. What causes our feelings of guilt and failure? And it's when we do things or think or do something we perceive as wrong. Perception's been another word that God has given me in the last 6 to 8 months, that, a lot of things that happen in our life are our own perception. And we can read that into guilt and failure in our own lives. If we look at things as in God's plan, that it's something, if something comes along and we make it, and maybe it's he gives us something to do and we don't do it exactly the way we think God wants us to do it, then we feel like a failure. But we're not. Because he knows. He knows exactly what we're doing. He already knew that we're going to, misstep. But God forgives all that. We talk about in this church that Jesus went to the cross and died for all our sins, all our mistakes. Not some of them, but all of them. The word all is really ingrained in my psyche. For all the years I've been coming to this church, and Oscar has been preaching that, because it encompasses everything in my life, every aspect of my life. And that is so relief. It's such a relief that God is on my side, no matter who, what, where, or when. All the things, or why. Why did you do something wrong? Well, I made a mistake. Maybe I said something wrong, Maybe I let my emotions take over and I said something to someone and I had to go and apologize for it. Maybe it wasn't the right thing to say at the right time. And now I'm sitting around and I'm going, oh, I said that. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Do I go and talk to him about it and apologize for it? Do I forget about it? What do I do? See, we're fighting ourselves all the time. That's what where we are when we're not living with the Lord, when we're not walking with the Lord. If we're trusting in him every day to work through us, you don't have to fight that emotion all the time. You don't have to struggle with the guilt that can eat you alive and just tear your insides out, because of what I've done, you know. You know, last week, Rich, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, he gave out two definitions. One was confession, and the other one was repent. And when I hear the word repent, to me it's kind of a harsh word. It's like, you do this. It's kind of like, I'm going to beat you down if you don't do this. But you know, the definition Rich gave me, it changed everything I thought about that, about what repentance means. He said, repentance says, change one's mind. That's one definition. And the other part of it was to go in a different direction. Now think about that. If we're walking around with guilt and a feeling of failure, if we go in a different direction, what's that going to do to us? How's that going to change our life? I think for me, it would change it drastically. You know, it would change my perspective, which I've talked about before, and a whole different thing than I've ever thought about. You know, okay, so I made a mistake, and I know exactly what I did with it. It's on this piece of paper I was writing on for the last 2 weeks. to agree with, say the same thing. So if I give it to the Lord, and I say, Lord, forgive me. I'm confessing my guilt here to you. I'm saying I know what it is. I know what caused it. But I'm giving it to you. I'm agreeing with you that you're going to forgive it for me. You're going to forgive me for it. And, you know, we may have to go back to that person that we said something to. And we may have to ask for their forgiveness. Or we maybe go back to the person we did something to. Maybe it was something that happened years ago, but you're still carrying it. And we may have to go back and say, you know, I'm sorry. And there's a good chance they may look at you and say, what the heck are you talking about? You know, because they forgot it, but we've allowed it to ingrain into our souls and into our hearts. And that's not the walk that the Lord wants us to have. He wants us to have a walk in freedom. He wants us to be walking with our heads up, knowing that we are his children, and that we have salvation in our life, and that we have his strength and his wisdom in our life, and that he loves us no matter who we are and what we do. That's what the Lord wants us in our life. And for me, I can only tell you that there have been some things in my life that I felt terribly guilty about. And I carried for a long time. And, you know, one of the big ones was I had two failed marriages before I met Kathy. And I felt like, you talk about feeling like a failure. I felt like, who am I? Nobody's going to care about me. Must be me. I must have been me because, you know, how else would it happen? Well, you know, I found out that it wasn't all me. But that didn't mean that I didn't feel it. And my father said something to me in the midst of that. When I was at my lowest point, he said something in the midst of that to me that stuck with me for a long time. And I had to forgive him for it. Unfortunately, it was after he passed, but he said to me, what's the matter with you? That made me feel like a failure. that I was never going to accomplish anything in my life. I mean, when your own father says you're a failure, you're a failure. Except he wasn't my real father. He was my earthly father. My real father did forgive me. And he took that away. It took a long time for him to take it away. You know, even if we repent and we confess our guilts and our failures to him, he may not do it immediately. But he knows your heart. And when you do it and you come to him, it's your lowest point, and you're confessing your faults and failures and your guilts to the Lord. He's waiting for you. I love that the Lord is waiting for me. And all the things that I do in my life, and he's with me in everything I do. I love that. It puts a perspective for me, and just the way I live. Rich was talking in Sunday school today, or somebody was talking about in Sunday school today. I think it was you when you were said, when you first got saved, you were talking about, you know, oh, I have to go out and, you know, tell everybody about the Lord. I have to go do this. You know, I have to go do that. That's not what it's all about. It's all about you and the Lord. Nothing else. See, the Lord wants the relationship. He wants you. As I said, as I've already said twice, as being his children, he wants you to be his children. He just doesn't want you to know it. He wants you to be it. And that's another revelation we should all have, that we are. We can rest in the fact that we are God's children. He wants to release us from our failures, you know, from our feelings of guilt and failure. Jesus died for forgiveness of all our sins. And that's why it's so important. When we were talking Wednesday, we were talking about faith, confession, and receive. That's why it's so important for each and every one of us in this room to have the faith that when we give it to the Lord, he'll hear it. To confess, to have the courage to confess it. And then have even bigger courage and the mindset that we're worthy of his forgiveness and to receive his forgiveness. Some of us feel that we can never receive God's forgiveness. But that's not true. We can all receive it. It's free. It's absolutely free. As I was looking through my Bible, I was looking for some scriptures, and I came up with some. And I got to figure them out here. First Peter 5, 6, and 7. This is out of the Message, which I really like because it talks to me in, like a normal person. I can't, if I get into the King James, I'm kind of like, okay. So be content with who you are. Are you content with who you are today? And don't put on airs. God's strong is in on you. God's strong hand is in on you. He'll promote you at the right time. Live carefree before God because he is most careful with you. He's not going to give you anything you can't handle. But he knows you're going to make the mistakes. But he's going to be careful to lead you right down the path that he wants you to let go, right where you need to be at the right time. That's the whole thing. It's the right time. I love the song, "He may not come when we want it, but he's always right on time." And that's the truth. And I can testify to that, because there have been times in my life where he has been so right on time, and I didn't even know it. And that was way before I was walking with the Lord. He was right there. He was right there the night that I met her. When I double parked my car behind her car. There must have been 200 cars in the parking lot. I picked her car. And if that wasn't the Lord, you know, who was it? Because I didn't know that until later, until I thought about it. But I've, you know, I can look at some times in my life where the Lord worked on me way before I met him, and just laid things out in such a perfect plan for my life that I was able to walk out and not even know that he was in control. I thank the Lord for that. I'm glad I didn't know him then, honestly. Because when I did come to the Lord and I realized what that plan was, what a revelation in my life. That someone was looking after me no matter what I thought I was or who I was. And he's put me right at the right point, at the right place, at the right time in his plan. In 1 John 5:13 to 15, it says, "My purpose in writing this is simple, that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion, and how bold and free we then become in his presence, freely asking according to his will, sure that he's listening. And if we're confident that he's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours." Man, that's pretty good. It's already ours. All we got to do is ask for it. We talk about knock and ask, and the door will open on the radio show all the time. And that's a message that everybody needs to hear. Because God is already there. He's always waiting to open the door for us, to take our guilt, to take our failures, to see us at our best, to see us at our worst. He's always there. That's a tremendous, tremendous thing to have, the knowledge that he's there. He always responds. Always responds. And then the last scripture I have is Romans. Of course, Romans 8 is full of all the promises in the world. So 26 through 28. "Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside us, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked out into something good. Every detail. Everything that I've talked about today, our guilts, our failures, our ups, our downs, our sideways. I always kid Kathy, I can go sideways at any time. And that's true. She knows it. But every week when I walk in this church, I look at that. Sometimes it resonates. Sometimes it's just like, oh, the sign's up there. But the reality is what's really up there. No matter what, how much we think we are failures or we are feel guilty about something, Jesus never fails. Never. Just like when everybody raised their hand and I said, I'm in the majority, I'm not in the minority. Never fails. I found this quote, and now I forget where I found it, but I thought it was very, very good, and I thought it fit with my message today, and it's this. This day, and it's a little prayer, it's out of a devotional, and I forget what one I took it out of, but it says, this day and every day I will place myself and my life in God's hands, secure in the knowledge that he will not fail me if I too do my part. You know, we talk about it's not always all about actions, and it's not. But my part is, when I'm feeling bad and I'm down, or if I feel like I've done something or I feel like a failure, my part is to confess it. That's my part. And my part is also to receive his forgiveness. See, God's forgiveness is unending. Ours is maybe not so much. You know, I'm not going to forgive this guy for doing that to me. Well, maybe you should. But the truth is, no matter what we do or where we're going or whatever, his forgiveness is unending. And it's our part to be able to confess it, to have the faith that he's going to give it to us, and to receive it, to take it. Not only to take it and receive it, but to cherish it. Even if for just a moment, knowing that after we've confessed it, that the Lord is going to say, I forgive you. Receive it in your heart today, folks. It's such a revelation. It's such a relief about taking stress out of your life and about taking failure out of your life. Quit feeling like you're a failure. God doesn't look at any of us as a failure. If you're feeling low today and you feel like you've left somebody down or you failed someone, it's all in God's plan. It's all in God's plan. Maybe you did. Maybe you did let someone down. But it's okay. Confess it. And then receive his forgiveness for it. And I'm going to end with this. Jeremiah 11, 13 through 14. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. That's God's decree. I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from all the countries into which I drove you. God's decree, bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. You can count on it. And that he's always got a plan for us. And that plan is always for our good. So accept it today, folks. Accept his forgiveness and accept his goodness in our life. And don't accept the fact that you might, your mistakes. Don't accept them as failures. Accept them as part of God's plan. And then give them up. Don't carry them because they're heavy. Sometimes they get real heavy and you can't carry them. You feel like you can't go on anymore. But God can take them. He can take whatever you throw at him. Believe me. He's got a big mitt. He'll catch it. So enjoy your day. And Jesus never fails. Thank you. That's right. That's right. I was going to say that too, and I forgot. Well, let's be honest. We all have situations that occur in our life every day. Now, if we believe that Satan is driving some of those, although I believe he's dead, he can't drive anything. that doesn't mean that we allow our own perceptions of what's going on. See, for me, perception is a big deal. Kathy could say something to me today that would maybe set me off because of the way I took it, the way I heard it. You know, there's an old axiom in the sales business. It says there's a reason God gave us two ears and one mouth. Well, he gave us two ears to listen instead of responding. You know, a lot of times our biggest problem with guilt and failure is we talk to ourselves and tell ourselves that we've done it. We are failures. See, it's easy for us. I think for me, it's personally, it's easy for me to make myself feel bad. I can talk myself into it really easily. And I think if we believe that, you know, God, that's Satan. That's the devil, if you want to say put it that way. That's the devil saying to you, you're not any good. What makes you think you're a good guy? What makes you think you're good? See, but Jesus doesn't want us to hear that. What he's saying, he wants it gone. He doesn't believe that in you. He doesn't believe that in anybody. Yep.
I am a king and a priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Start recognizing for what it is, though. That's what you're saying.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the accuser of the brethren comes, it's a lie. Yeah. So acknowledging and agreeing with God that it's a lie and start telling yourself, you don't have to tell the accuser of the brethren, just keep telling yourself, I am more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
You know, greater is he that lives in me than he that is in the world. And you start, that's where the word confession, agreeing with what God says.
That's right.
Joy. I mean, all the fruit of the Spirit will well up in you, and it goes away.
Yeah, the scripture says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And it also says in John, in the epistles of John, it says that if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. But it also says, but if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts.
Amen. That's
right. Amen.
So we have to realize that we're not to walk in condemnation. We're to walk in what he's already accomplished on Calvary. Amen. And to walk in that victory that Rich was talking about, because we are victorious in him.
Amen.
Because of what he did, not because of what
right.
we did.
Amen.
Right.
Right.
And who is the accuser of the brethren? I know who accuses me. Right here between
my... No, it's your natural mind. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Carnal mind, yeah.
What are you saying, Anna?
Can I talk now?
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay.
I just wanted to say, too, I think, too, sometimes it comes to the point in our lives where we, God in us, lets us know who we belong to.
Amen.
And we have to really believe that we belong to him. So no matter what the enemy thinks or what he tries to do with us, we have to bring that back to our minds. Just like you said before, we have to bring that to our minds too, is to say, I belong to him. And sometimes we have to say it out loud. We have to speak that back.
That's right.
I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do nothing to me. I belong to Christ. So whatever comes in my life, he's got it. He's got it. And so I just feel like that's the part where we have to come to, though. I mean, we have to come to that part where we can just say that and know it, not just saying it, but know it from our deep part of our hearts and our souls, who you belong to. You don't belong to Satan. And he can't touch you without God, you know, unless God gives him the permission to do that. Because he's under God.
Our victory from the snare, we have it.
Right.
That's right. Oscar?
Well, I guess we'll close if y'all stand up.
Yes.
You know, you are usually your own worst critic when you get into it. And you know, what Mike, this message that Mike shared today, we do need to quit beating ourselves up, you know. Because we beat ourselves down and then we don't walk in the victory that Christ already won for us. And if we'll quit acknowledging all of the shortcomings that we have and start acknowledging how big God is in every situation and certain things in our life, then we'll quit walking with condemnation, you know. You know, in Romans 8 chapter it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?
That's right.
So God, he's the one that forgave you. No, he's not going to lay it to the charge, your charge. And he said, whatsoever, he said, whatsoever things of love, of being praised, of being virtue, think on these things, you know, it says in the scripture. Quit letting yourself think those negative thoughts, because the negative thoughts will be nothing to bring you down. Start thinking positive thoughts of thanking God for what he's already accomplished in your life, and then you'll walk with a new victory, and you'll walk with a new purpose. So, anyway, we're going to go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word, for truly your spirit and life. I ask you to bless the food and the fellowship as we go back in the back. And Father, even let the conversation even carry on back there, Father, as to what you've already accomplished.